Our Father in heaven, we bless your name. As we look into your word, let your mercy be upon us. Give us understanding, give us insight in Jesus' name. Cover myself with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This morning, we're looking at the prayer of intercession. I'm not in any way very good in this area, but I believe whatever God wants us to get, he can pass it through any of his instruments. I pray he will give us understanding. He will teach us today in Jesus' name. Basically, the book of Nehemiah would have been the Nehemiah chapter 1 would have been something we would have looked at. Well, we'll look at it in the course of the teaching. While looking at the prayer of intercession, and by way of introduction, I would just want to ask us, has there been a time where when it's as if you felt as though there was a burden in your mind that you cannot explain? There is a burden in your heart to pray for people, to pray for the masses, maybe in the UK or in the world general, or named people, for your community in Leicester here or your local community. Have you felt the same way sometimes, maybe, when there is a national tragedy? There are plane crashes, so many people died. Does it appeal to you, or has it appealed to you? Or do you desire to have an appeal the way to some Christians it does happen? Have you felt a nudging or a prompt from your inside when you listen to news? You hear things, just examples of the things I did talk about a minute ago. Reading up some local or international newspaper on social media. Coming closer home, have you felt concern over a certain brother or sister or family or youth, a member of the church, some children in the church, or the happenings, the goings on in the church? When things happen, any of these that have been so highlighted, does it strike a chord in your heart? Today is not preaching, it's just I pray or the desire that God will stimulate myself and every one of us to be involved in intercessory prayer. What kind of person are you? What kind of heart have you got as a child of God, looking at all this? When these things happen, and maybe someone is leading the prayers from the pulpit, be it online or directly, and say, let's pray. People are dying. Nations are at war. Nigeria, for example, the way things are going, the government, does this strike a chord? Do you feel nourished in your heart to be concerned, to be burdened? Today, my desire and our desire as a church is that there will be a change. We will not be the kind of people that feel unconcerned, feel unbothered, unfettered when issues like this, they come up. What is intercession again? It is the act of intervening on behalf of another. So you are standing in the gap. It is a form of mediation. Someone may be in trouble, may be in turmoil, or may have a need, and he or she may be unable to. It may be a local community. It may be a church. There is a need, or there is a need to move forward from where they've been. The person who mediates, or the prayer we make to ensure that from the point they are now to the next point they should get to, is the prayer of intercession. It's like a form of negotiation. It's like intervention. There are things that need solving. That intervention, the prayer that brings about intervention, not for yourself now, but for that situation, for that brother, for that sister, for that family, that's what we refer to as intercession. Pleading on behalf, making a petition on their behalf, advocating, making entreaties and supplication. That is what we refer to, or what we are discussing this morning, intercessory prayer. When a family member, as in biological family member, for example, has got a terminal illness, maybe has got a cancer, or has got an illness that you know that, you know, is going to go, or maybe someone in your workplace, you talk about it that very minute, does it stop at that point? Do you progress with it? Does it matter to your heart that this person maybe may pass on so soon? And there are so many ifs, so many possibilities that can happen. It could be hellfire, it could be hell, it could be heaven. you may not be able to say. The person may be born again, may not be born again. Especially when they are not born again. Praise the Lord. When your neighbor desperately needs Jesus, maybe in your workplace, anywhere, but they turn away every time you try to share Christ with them, especially in this environment that we live in, does it stop at that point? Or do you carry, are you able to carry a burden in your heart that goes beyond that very moment? And outside the presence of that person, you begin to lift up a prayer before the Almighty God on the behalf of that person, on the behalf of that situation, or whatsoever. When a nation begins to crumble because its people are following their evil ways or for whatever reason, things are not working. What can you do? There are some people who have prayed and they've gotten tired. And that is why we say often the problems we face, they seem to be too big for us. Sometimes for those who are really involved in praying, they pray, maybe for example, pray for Nigeria. I remember how prayers were being made in 92, 93 during the elections in Nigeria. People were afraid of war. I remember the prayers that the church was making those days. Things like that. Some people gave up. Say, no, there is no way. And I remember full well that people in the country Nigeria who were staying, let's say, in the south, they moved in droves. They moved to the east. But I remember so well the church I was in Warri those days. There were people that said, no, God has given a sure word that regardless of the turmoil, regardless of the expectations that people had, there wasn't going to be any war, there wasn't going to be any problem. And beloved, those people, because they persevered, they made prayers of intercession, God opened their eyes to see into the future, and they knew how it was going to end, and many of them stayed back. Sorry to say, several of them in my local community those days who traveled, they came back with negative news. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. You remember Naomi? Naomi told when she came by, she said, call me no longer Naomi. She said, call me Mara, because bitterness had come. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. It is these things that behove us that made pastor and the leadership to say, yes, we should look into a topic like this. When we say things that they become so big, we cannot solve them on our own. It is times like these that we need to turn to the Lord in intercessory prayer. Praise the Lord. What is intercession? It is a prayer that pleads with God for your needs and the needs of others. Somebody say, I had said you're intervening on the behalf of people. Yes. As a mother, as a father, as a grandfather, as a leader in church, as a member of the church, you've got children, for example, biological children. When you pray for them, you lift them up in prayer. It is a prayer of intercession you are making on their behalf. Before I had children, there is something that I had learned from some pastors. They said, you know what, young man? When you've got children, you put your hand and decree upon them every day. And I told myself, I'm going to do that. Beloved, I did it for a while, I forgot. But thank God for who God is. Just a few weeks ago, I don't know where that thing came from again. And these days, before my children go to school, they will come and say, Daddy, bless me. Because I told them, when you wake up in the morning, you must meet me to come. I lay my hands upon you and I will bless you. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we live in a world where children, the desire of parents for them, the expectation of parents for them has changed. They've got good expectation, but what some of them get at the end of the day, after 15 years when they become teenagers or young adults, that is not what the parents expected. So what seeds can we sow at the moment? We can intercede on the behalf of the children, and God will change the narrative in the future in the name of Jesus. So every morning my children will come to me, Daddy, bless me. I pray God gives me the grace to continue in Jesus' name. So that is how you can pray for your own needs and the needs for your needs and also the needs of others. We look in that place, we look at Abraham. Can we open Genesis 18? Yeah, verse 17, yeah. Abraham prayed, we look at verse 17. It says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? God saw Abraham to be someone that was close to him, right? Yeah. Verse 19 to 21. He said he's not going to hide from him. In that place, what does he say? For I have known him in order that he may command his children. Can I get King James? Thank you. Thank you, sir. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon, is the A part I'm interested in. At this time, it was about a year before, you know, Abraham had not had children at this time. But God could vouch for him. He knew the kind of person that Abraham was. That he was the kind of person that, no, even though he had no children at that time, he had given him a promise. And Abraham, by virtue of what God, who God knew him to be, that he was going to command his children to follow after him. Did Isaac do like that? Praise the Lord. Very likely, God knew him that he was a man that had intercessory prayer in his mind to his children, his family at heart. Beloved, I challenge us this morning. That is an area, no matter how things could be with some of our children, maybe not be children here in church, it could be elsewhere, our friends, children, families. Beloved, it is never too late. God that started with Abraham at that time, he will do the same with us in Jesus' name. Can we go further? And the Lord, you know, talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. He was going to destroy them, you know, for other people. I think I'll just talk about this. I don't need to read it. We all know the story. The first part I talked about was for Abraham and his own family, his own children. But what did Abraham do? He intervened. He interceded for the needs of others. God appeared to him and he told him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God, Abraham challenged him, are you going to destroy the righteous and the wicked together? God said, far be it from him. That's all what he's saying in that place, that he would do that. And what did Abraham do? Did he keep his mouth shut? No. He began to ask God. He said, God, for example, if there were just 50 people, will you destroy? He said, no. Permit me to ask again. Abraham asked God. If there were 5 short, 45, God said no. He began to negotiate with God. From 50 to 45, from 45 to 40, to 30, to 20. And God said, don't worry, I'm not going to destroy them. If I can find the last one Abraham asked was 10. Praise the Lord. How many of us can be in that level of comfort? He was living in a separate city or land or town, but that was a different city altogether. But he had so much interest in the people that were there. Someone may say his nephew, Lot, was staying there. It's possible. But remember some chapters before here, Genesis chapter 13, there was a separation between him and Lot. Right? Lot was a small boy compared to Abraham. Abraham gave him the opportunity to make a choice. And he took the best possible choice, physically speaking. It's an opportunity, or it was an opportunity for Abraham to take revenge upon Lot. That's one. Even if he didn't want to take revenge, it was also an opportunity, without taking revenge, to say, I'm in my own comfort. I shouldn't be bothered about what is happening there. But Abraham did not behave like that. God is looking for Christians today who will not just remain, myself, every one of us, in our comfort zones, jettisoning, forgetting about what is happening on the other side. When prayer points are being raised, they say, in UK here, there's some legislation that is doing all this legislation, LGBT legislation, teach this in schools, do this for children. When they are raised, how seriously do we take them? There are some people, they say, my children are grown, thank God. They forget about the younger ones. You forget that those grown children, they will also give birth to other children. Praise the Lord. Some will say, UK, US, Western world, I won't bring my children. They are back there in Nigeria or Kenya or whatever country where they stay, where, you know, some things may not be like it is here. And they stay silent. Abraham was not that kind of person. Praise the Lord. Intercession involves, so that's the first one, intercession involves taking hold of God's will and refusing to let go until his will comes to pass. When you understand the will of the Almighty God and you are making your prayer in that light, you may see an answer on day one. It may not be there, but keep persisting. We see the story of Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 21, verse 10 to 14. The Christians were gathered in that place, and a prophet, Agabus, came, and he picked up the girdle he saw on the ground there, and he wrapped it, used it to tie his hands and legs. And he said, the man that owns this girdle is going to be given up, you know, going to be in bondage, you know, that kind of stuff. is going to be in prison and all that when he gets to Jerusalem. And even within the church, Apostle Paul was encouraged. He said, you know what? Just remain here. Let's not go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. But what did Paul say? Acts 21, verse 11. What did Paul say? And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle. Yeah, the next verse. Let's leave. I've already talked about it. The next one. The fellow disciples were telling him not to go. But in this verse, Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. We live in a generation where people, even though they may discriminate against us, but nobody is killing us. Hello, am I right? Hello, am I right? Nobody is killing us. We have to be sincere. But how many of us can take the stand that Apostle Paul took? And not long from then, Apostle Paul went to Jerusalem. You go down the chapter. You see those verses there. Go down the chapter. That's exactly what happened. You know, Apostle Paul went there and he was bound. He was bound. And ultimately, God revealed his mind towards him, to him in that place. In chapter 22 of Acts, we're not going to read it. What happened? God made it so abundantly clear unto Paul, even though he already knew before. He said, you know what? I'm going to send you unto the Gentiles. That's why Paul didn't mind. He knew where he was headed. He knew the vision, the will of God concerning him. He knew that he had Peter, he had James, he had other apostles right there in Jerusalem. He knew the assignment that God had given to him. And he was ready, whatever it would take, to get there. He made us know in the Bible that when he got born again, he did not just sit in one place. He separated himself to get the vision. He went down to Arabia and he stayed there for 3 solid years. He had a vision. God revealed himself to him. He knew the mind of God and he stayed put at it. And ultimately, when you get to the last chapters of Acts, you see Paul. He made an appeal to the Roman emperor. And that is how he got there. And he got to Rome. And eventually, the assignment that God had given to him, that made him, would make him to reach out to the Gentiles that most of the early disciples couldn't do or were not, you know, able to do at that time, Apostle Paul was able to fulfill it. And that's how many of us today we've got the gospel. Praise the Lord. You look at the books, most of the books of the New Testament, they were written to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. That is someone who knew what it meant to intercede. Several places in the book of Acts, you see God revealing to him, no, I forbid you to enter into Bithynia. Go to some other place. Oh, now, he was in the dream at another time as he was praying. He said, now, arise and go unto Thessalonica. God spoke to him. He was involved in that, in the prayer of intercession. Behold, though, I indulge or scribe my indulgences today, that the Lord will help us and will do the same in Jesus' name. What else is intercession? Intercession is a warfare. It's a warfare kind of prayer. The key to God's battle plan for our lives, for our families, for our nation, is intercession. Somewhere in the Bible, I can't remember, it says, every battle of war is with confused noise. Intercessory prayer is battle. Our lives, for us to get God's will, things to get working for us, it's a battle. And we must understand that when we stand in the gap for our families, our nation, every battle will be victorious in Jesus' name. What is this battleground? And what's the kind of warfare? We all know it's spiritual warfare. It is in the battleground that we contend and we're going to make our voices heard. You are going to contend with the enemy, contend with the forces that are working against us as individuals, as a family, as a church, as a country, as a nation. It is in that place. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. We all know the scripture. We are not fighting against human beings. We need to, you know, we are fighting with spiritual forces. And that is why, just like was said last week, so I'm not going to dwell on it, we must be battle ready, fully girded. We must understand in fighting, in praying intercessory prayers, that the battle we are not alone. Why? Because we've got superior armory. Somebody say amen. Thank you, sir. We've got superior armory. We are God's children. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we've got direct access to the throne of grace, as Hebrews 4:16 does tell us. Now that we have identified whom we are God's children. He is with us at all times. Now we're going to the battleground with the armor that we talked about last week, and Teobo talked about last week and Pastor the previous week. We get fully armed. We ask him, say, Baba, God, what is our target? That is what God expects of us. Praise the Lord. What target are we going to? I will get there. What target? We should be battle ready, prepared with all this in the background. He is with us. We are moving forward to fight the war in terms of intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer, what else is it? It is a prayer that doesn't give up. More often than not, when we say prayer, we pray about our food, no problem. Little headache, no problem. But there are things that have been contending with our lives, with our families, with our nations, with our countries. Look at the LGBT issue, for example. Many of us frown at it. We don't hate nobody. We don't hate anybody. Isn't that not right? We hate nobody. But there are things that contradict our faith, our belief. Praise the Lord. Do we hate anyone? No. The Christian faith is one of the most tolerant faith. In the book of John chapter 8, when Jesus met the woman who was caught in adultery, even when people were ready to stone her, what did Jesus say? He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Praise the Lord. These are things that are contending against us. You remain in the place of prayer. It is as if things are getting worse. No problem. God is encouraging us that for that person who will be an intercessor, you remain in that place of prayer without giving up. You will endure all setbacks. Overcome every obstacle. Praise the Lord. Overcome every obstacle and keep pressing until we apprehend what God's will be. We see that, corollary rather, from Luke chapter 11, from verse 5, 8 to 10. There was a man who had a friend who came visiting. And in the middle of the night, he had no bread at home. He went to his neighbor's door and knocked. The neighbor said, I'm already in bed with my children. I can't get up. But the Bible said he persisted knocking. And verse 10 says something. Verse 8. It says what? I say unto you, though that man will not rise and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his persistence, because of his continuity, because of his persistence in that prayer, in that knocking of the door, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Who does that man signify there? Signifies God. It's not every time that we ask God we pray to God that he gives the answers immediately. Hello? He is God. No one can question him. For that man, that woman who likes to be, and who should be, and we all should be, people who makes prayers of intercession on behalf of the church, on behalf of members in the church, on behalf of our society and our community, we must be importunate. That man will rise and give him as much bread as he needed. What does this tell us? Ephesians 5:14 to 16. Regardless of the situation, things are not working. You've tried and tried. Loads and loads of people begin to give up. They say, no, I've prayed. I've seen people like that. So I'm not praying again. I've prayed about this. God will do it anytime he likes. To some extent, it looks as if that is good. But truly speaking, so many people give up. But what does the Bible say? Wherefore he said, guys who before they would still kneel on their knees or stand up and be praying, because of delays, they lose their ability to be importunate. God is saying, no, take that one back. Thank you, sir. It says what? Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest. With all the armory you are wearing, you are going to lie down, as Antiochus said last week. No. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Praise the Lord. Whatever it is that's weighing you down, is it depression? Is it discouragement? There are things you have wanted to happen in your life, in your family, in your church, in your country. You are so discouraged. Many of us, I myself, inclusive, we'll be so discouraged with the country. Most of us are from Nigeria. It got to the extent that some of us don't, sorry to say, some people don't want to pray. I don't want to say some of us now. Some people don't want to pray about the country again. See, it's as if God has forgotten it. God has not forgotten Nigeria. Somebody say amen. Amen. God has not forgotten the UK. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible is telling, today we're reminded that we should arise. Please, can we take it back? Arise thou that sleepest. There's no giving up. And arise from the dead, from that spiritual death. And Christ will give the light. Yes. And what does the next verse say? Yeah. See then that ye walk circumspectly, cautiously, not as fools, but wise. Because it is those that walk as fools that will give up. But what the Lord is telling us, what we are being reminded today, is that this man would not have given him bread at all. It's not because he was his friend, but because of his importunity. The Lord is reminding us that we need to be importunate. We need to be persistent in prayer. It may be 1 year, it may be 5 years, it may be 10, it may be 20, I don't know. God spoke to Abraham when he was but 75 years of age. But when did Abraham's child come? When he was 100 years old, 25 years later. Was God's promise fulfilled at the end of the day? Yes. Praise the Lord. Intercessory prayer involves praying and battling for our nation and our communities. Thank God most of us were very interested in praying for ourselves. It's much easier. Lord, as I'm going out today, take care of me, take care of my wife, my husband, my children. I pray for my parents I'll just leave that. There are other several examples of people in the Bible who made prayers of intercession. You could say Daniel in that place, the Daniel 9:3-19. We could say Apostle Peter praying for Dorcas. That's Tabitha. That's the other interpretation of her name. We all know about her. You know, praying for church members is very important. She was a valuable member of the church. The Bible never said whether she was rich or not. But what we know is that she was taking care of those who were widows, those who were in need, those probably who were elderly in the church. And they loved her so much. When she died, instead of putting her to the ground, the Bible said they took her to the upper chamber in Acts chapter 9, verse 36-41. And when they heard that Paul was in another city, not so far in Lydda, said, we will wait for him. Peter. We will wait for him to come. And when he came, he prayed. Praise the Lord. And that woman came back to life. It is when we involve ourselves in intercessory prayers that the power of the Almighty God begins to be made manifest in our lives. If our prayer stops at just praying for me, myself, and I, you understand what that kind of prayer is? Circumferential prayer, like this. We don't really see the power of God. Praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul prayed regularly for people that he served, you know. Moses pleaded for God's mercy for the Israelites he was leading. At that time, Deuteronomy chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32, what happened? God wanted to just destroy the Israelites. He said, they are too stubborn, stiff-necked people. But Moses went down and interceded on their behalf. He said, God, no, please, no, not now. Even though you promised me that you will make a nation out of me, that's immaterial. These are your people. Moses stood on their behalf. And that was how God did not destroy the Israelites. Who have you stood on their behalf? Even in our families, we've got so many people who are not born again. Do we remember them in prayer? We are walking towards heaven. Thank God. Who are you carrying along? Who are you praying for? No matter how headstrong the person is, you cannot approach the person physically. We have the opportunity of going to the throne of grace and doing that. Praise the Lord. Is it optional to intercede? The answer is no. God desires it of every one of us. It is God's heartbeat. It is his live wire, his naked wire. The disciples, the apostles, the early apostles, they demanded it of us. As we can see in Ephesians chapter 6, 18-19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. And watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We must pray for fellow born again Christians. We must pray for our leaders. both in church and outside of church. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, what are we encouraged to do? Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Things are going apparently well with you, with your family, with everything about you. Thank God absolutely for that. But when someone else is in pain, someone has written an exam once, twice, he or she has not passed. Does it touch you? Does it bother you? Coronavirus is killing people in China. Thank God it is not in the UK. Thank God no death has been recorded in the UK. One death was recorded in Europe yesterday or 2 days ago. Thank God it's not UK. Are you praying? God forbid such comes to meet us suddenly in Jesus' name. When this thing started some weeks ago, they said, it is still not as bad as SARS. 768 people died from SARS in 2003. That's what they said then. As at early this morning, 68 people have died from coronavirus. I didn't say infected, died. And over 66,000 have been infected. And 1,668. These are the things that should stimulate us to pray when we hear them. Almost 30 countries now have people who are infected with it. We may say it looks far-fetched. We pray it does not come here more than it is now. What if it comes? Do you know the condition the people are living over there? To be marooned and cocooned in one place for 2 weeks. You'll be in your house. You won't come out. What if you got little children? They don't have food to eat. These are the things we need to think about. Praise the Lord. When we see things happening in our society, on the news media, social media, we hear them. Fair enough, we live in a city like this where we're in a church like the ROCCG, where we have fathers and mothers in the Lord that send us messages. Let's not ignore them. Your WhatsApp is not just to forward funny messages. I send funny messages, we all do. But beyond that, we should take that seriously. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We should learn to intercede. Yeah, I think I've said that before. I'll rush through this, but just to learn something from principles that an intending intercessor can follow that will make us to be good intercessors. We learn that from the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, what did he do? He interceded on behalf of an entire nation. He was a cupbearer before the king when they were taken in exile. And through him, God used him, one man, to bring restoration and purity and dignity to the Israelites again. Nehemiah, I've mentioned that he was a cupbearer to the king. But what happened? He heard some heartbreaking news. There are some people that will hear that news. It will not break their heart. Just like I mentioned coronavirus just now. It will not break their heart. We pray for ourselves only. But how did it affect him? Let's look at verses 1 to 3, first of all, and see what happened. I would skip there. The words of Nehemiah, this is Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it described him. He was staying in the palace. Comfort. He had no problems of his own. He was with the king, who was more or less like the king of the whole world, so to speak, in a large part of the world then. He was in Shushan, the palace. Was he in comfort? Yes. Was he in trouble? No. Then a fellow brother, fellow Israelite, met him and he told him, he said, how are the people in Judah? The people, in Judah, how are they? Those that were left behind or those that escaped and went back? And what was the report? When he asked concerning the Jews that were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem, what was the response? And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there, they are in great affliction. No food. There was hunger. They were in reproach. Shame faced. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. This man was living in a good place. Just like most of us here in the UK, physically we're living in a good place. But he remembered where he was from. He remembered other places. He said the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and the gates thereof burned with fire. And the thing touched him so much. The first principle we'll learn, I'll run through them. The intercessor is practically informed. If you are taking note, let's take note of those few things. I think this is more important. They are practically informed. Many of us find it difficult to pray intercessory prayers. Why? Because we don't have the detailed information regarding the process. They say, okay, now let's pray. They mention some countries. For example, any country we will mention now. Let's say pray for South Africa. If you don't know the specific needs of South Africa, will you be able to pray for South Africa? Not at all. But this man inquired of Hanani in verse 2. What is the situation of the people there? And he was told the reality of the situation. He understood it. He was made aware of what needed changing. The gates of Jerusalem were down. They were burned with fire. And the walls were broken. Praise the Lord. The intercessor must be practically informed. Say, you want to pray for LGBTQ? All the materials that Pastor Fumi sent to WhatsApp, you glean them, gather them together, and go through them. What does this say? What does this say? It directs your prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hello. The second thing, the intercessor is spiritually sensitive and discerning. Spiritually sensitive. Nehemiah wept when he heard the report. Seeing the people starving made him weep, quite all right. But what was the singular thing that really made him weep? It was someone that knew that Jerusalem, Judah, was the heart of God, the heartbeat of the Almighty God. So that's what broke his heart, that these were the people of God that were brought to shame. When things happen in the house of God, are you the type that instead of praying when a brother falls, a sister falls, are you the type that will go about, we were saying it before, that this was a deceiver. This was just a pretender. No, God does not expect that from any one of us. I remember some years ago in 1996, we used to have a youth leader. He committed fornication with the lady he was to get married to in a few months. He was a youth leader. My wife knows the person. And I could see some people, it was wrong. It's a big sin. It's a sin till tomorrow. But instead of carrying that young man that he was those days and encouraging him, they were just crucifying for naught. If not that he had his faith strong in the Lord, how would he have been restored to the faith? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is not looking for critics. He's looking for people that will be spiritually sensitive and discerning. Praise the Lord. The intercessor, still talking about it, this sensitivity, spiritual perceptiveness, our antennas must be always lifted, and discernment, they are what a burdened intercessor must feel, sense, and understand. When you hear the story of coronavirus that is killing people, you begin to discern, are these guys that are dying, are they all born again? Those are the thoughts that we begin to have. Are they all going to heaven? Those are the thoughts we begin to have. Is there a possibility that some of them, the devil is just allowing this to happen so that guys will just be going to hellfire? We begin to think the way God Almighty will think, spiritually sensitive. And those things will motivate us to pray. Praise the Lord. The intercessor turns to God immediately. Nehemiah didn't catch the latest sports calls. What is Mayu and Arsenal playing? Not that. It's good enough, quite all right. But what did he do? He went straight to his prayer. Immediately upon hearing the news, he went to God in prayer. That is how God expects us to also do. Praise the Lord. The intercessor tarries in prayer. That's the next one. Apart from immediately taking action to pray, you tarry in prayer. He remains in that place of prayer. We've talked about that earlier. I'm just trying to use Nehemiah to explain it. We can say that there. The intercessor accepts responsibility on behalf of the people. Praise the Lord. What did he do, Nehemiah? The Bible says Nehemiah went and he began to confess the sin of the people. He went on his knees. He said, whatever myself, my father's house, all that we have done, Lord, have mercy and forgive us. The intercessor himself might not be guilty of a particular sin, which he confesses on behalf of his people, his church, or Christians in general. But what he must do is to act as a go-between God and those who have sinned. And just like Jesus intercedes on our behalf before God, they now go on their behalf before God. The Lord will give us the wisdom to so do in Jesus' name. Number 6, intercessors understand the gravity of sin. Intercessors don't toil with sin. Do you want to be an intercessor as God wants us to be? We should put sin aside from our lives. Praise the Lord. Because Nehemiah came to understand that this situation that the Israelites, the guys in Judah, found themselves was because of the fact that they were insane. And that's why all those confessions were there. Praise the Lord. Intercessors appeal to God according to his promises. They pray in line with the promises of God. Why? Because God does not forget his promises. Praise the Lord. So you look at the promise of God. What has God promised? God has promised, for example, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, that if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways, I will bless them. I will protect them. That is how the intercessor acts. Praise the Lord. Intercessors pray to God. They beg God to listen and for God to take action, and they remain there. Number 9, before we finish. Intercessors are glad to join their hearts with others, to collaborate with other people who share their burden for change. Are you a collaborator? Am I a collaborator with other believers? When we collaborate, we work together, we'll be able to achieve our common purpose, our common good. Intercessors are led to action. They avail themselves to do whatever God needs to be done and ensure there is result at the end of the day. They not only assume responsibility for interceding, but they surrender themselves to the process to be an instrument of God in the corrective work of God. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, intercession or making intercessory prayers is not a ministry for the faint of heart, but rather for the tender and courageous. God does not need it to be very strong, no. Those who are touched by the reality of their surrounding unfaithfulness, they are likely to intercede. Are you touched by the things that happen around you in your church, in your local community, in our country? Yes, then you can become a good intercessor. They are willing to do whatever God will lead them to do. Do you have that willingness? If you don't, it's high time we began to have it. When God touches their heart, they pray immediately. They don't postpone. And they do it also fervently and as they need to. They are willing to stand in the gap on behalf of others. They are not selfish. They understand their need for God and the total reliance upon God's power. They believe that God can do exceedingly beyond their faith. Your faith, my faith should be strong. Praise the Lord. And the last thing I will say is that God is calling all Christians, you and myself, to join his battle plan for the world, to join him in intercessory prayer. He's not looking for a perfect prayer warrior. He's just looking for who? A willing heart. Who wants to see his will come to pass here on earth? Praise the Lord.